thank you very much. We are beginning the meeting. There is one agenda item in today's meeting. There's no introductions, there's no welcome, there's nothing, and I must follow the agenda as it is. But I believe I must note the fact that houses of provincial houses of Tanzanian leadership, I've seen them here. I don't have to make a head count, precisely because of the nature of the meeting. A major engagement will come as we go to provinces for hearing, I believe. But we need to pack this hustle with your intelligence. The department, I'm told, is here. In fact, it is the department that must lead us in this item. But however, I have to, with your courtesy, introduce myself. My name is Madume Humphrey Mokhoi, the chairperson of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs. Indeed, for decorum of Parliament, I would ask members of the committee to introduce themselves and everyone, just for respect of each other. Yes, please.
My name is Jack Becker. I'm from the Western Cape.
I'm Honorable Brunda. I'm from the Northern Cape, a member of the Select Committee of Corporate Governance and Traditional Affairs.
Good afternoon. My name is Roger Watson. I'm the DA leader in the NCFP and a member of this committee.
Good afternoon. I'm Afemani Makumela from Limpopo. I'm a delegate of this NCFP.
My name is Tunga Matila, a member of the committee from Gauteng.
John Manning of the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs. Fani Lou, Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs.
Abram Sitole from Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs.
Wellington Kulule Sobashe from Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs.
Nkosi Bengu from KwaZulu Natal.
Inkosikazi Mhlawule, ndisuka kwiNational House of Traditional Leaders.
Inkosi Phiwe Zintombi Mzimela from KwaZulu Natal and the National House.
I'm Buisela Jacobs, NCOP member. I'm standing in for Mr. Mofokeng because he has requested me to go and make a presentation on Friday.
I'm Sabi Lubisi from Mpumalanga. Eskid Yuskosan, chairperson, Cooperative Governance, Traditional Leaders and Human Settlement, Mpumalanga.
Kosi Makheru, Chairperson Limpopo House of Traditional Leaders.
Lewin Zimande, KwaZulu Natal Legislature, member of the committee.
Heinz Kun, KwaZulu Natal Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs.
From National House of Traditional Leaders.
I'm Makedi Ramopedi,
chairperson of the Free State House of Traditional Leaders.
I'm Nomzaga Research Boy from KZN, chairperson of the Cooperative Government and Traditional Affairs. Noma Kiki Majola from KZN, a member of the committee. Thank you.
Sarah Malawani, Free State Legislature.
Thank you very much for those introductions. Going to the approach of the item, the department will be responding. The houses and provincial representatives will promote. Obviously, there is an area of divergence. In those areas of divergence, I think the department would note and take them because the process is still going to the provinces. There will also be areas of convergence. The department would note them so that the minister indeed is assisted in where that the feeling of the house and those that represent the provinces want to go in terms of the bill. And it should be very, 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 very carefully done so that we avoid omission. As we go to the province, we need to go to bring the provinces with the entirety of the feeling and the direction the bill wants to take. And we also want to request the parliamentary committee secretary to also note all those issues of divergence and issues of convergence so that as we bring the provinces, we don't create other things. We must be open, transparent, where there are no agreements. We need to emphasize that, yes, there's no agreement. And then in that way, I don't believe we will take time. We'll have to take more time as we conduct our hearings at various provinces. Thank you very much. I'll then call upon the department to respond to the submission made by both National House of Traditional Leaders and Provincial Houses of Traditional Leaders on the meeting we held last week. I don't know who's listening.
Yes. Thank you, Chief Honorable Chairperson. Again, I must start off by introducing myself that I am Wellington Mkhulule Sobahle, the Chief Director in the Department of Traditional Affairs, Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs in Pretoria. Secondly, through you, Chairperson, allow me to express our appreciation to the Honorable House for this opportunity to respond to some of the submissions that were made by the Honorable Ramaphosa through the National House as well as the Provincial Houses on the 2nd of September this year. I hope the presentation, everybody has the presentation.
Just a moment, I just want to confirm. Are you going to use this?
Yes, yes.
Everyone have this one? Okay, thank you, can go on.
The format of this presentation, Honorable Chairperson, is that we are going to start off with the Traditional Leadership and Governance Framework Amendment Bill. And we take the issue that was mentioned by both the National House and the Provincial Houses, the issue, and then we indicate where this question came, or the concern came from, or the input came from. And then the third column is going to be the comments that we make as a department, leading to the fourth column, the suggestion, that informing the suggestion as to why we are saying and what we are saying. The first issue, Honorable Chairperson, is the first issue of the commission, the work of the commission. From the National House, both National House and the Limpopo Provincial House of Traditional Leadership, was this input that the commission should have the authority to make final decisions on the disputes and claims. For the simple reason that if this was changed from the current position, this would lay open
the commission to political interference from politicians. Our comments are that the majority of houses are of the view that the commission should only make recommendations and that the final decision should rest with the president. And so we are saying no amendment is required because the current bill makes that requirement. On page 2, Honorable Chairperson, again we still talk about the commission to say from the Eastern Cape, Free State, and Mpumalanga, with the inputs that the commission should be restricted to making recommendations on the disputed claims. And we're saying the department supports that view, and as a result, there should be no amendment. An input from, that is 1.3, from Mpumalanga was that the reconstituted commission should be authorized to review the decision of the current commission. We are saying, and the comment we have in column 3, that the Framework Act currently provides for the commission to make final decisions, which must be implemented by the president as well as the premier. And then the only authority then, competent authority, to review decisions is the court of law. A little explanation is necessary here, Chairperson, in the sense that it should be understood that the current commission is not being disestablished as is popularly believed. It is only being reconstituted. It will only be dealing, it will be dealing with the same issues, the same functions as before. The only difference with the envisaged commission is that it will make different, it will make recommendations as opposed to making a final decision, as is stated in the current commission. And as a result, if we follow the principle of law, which says that the commission cannot review itself, meaning then it is going to be the same commission, but with a different composition and a different approach in terms of how it works. So it's the same commission, and it can never then review itself. And so the input is not supported. The amendment of the bill is not going to be effective. From the Eastern Cape 1.4, there was this input that legality or the questioning of the legality of the commission due to the fact that the provinces were not part of the processes of the commission, as well as the fact that traditional leadership is a concurrent issue, Schedule 4. We are saying the only legislation providing for the resolution of disputed claims is the Framework Act, the Traditional Leadership and Governance Framework Act, which is a national legislation. There is no concurrent provincial legislation dealing with this matter. As a result, this legislation does not conflict with another legislation, supposedly the provincial legislation. So there is no amendment required. Page 3. Number 2, principal traditional leader. There was opposition, wide range of opposition to the proposal to create this fourth level of traditional leadership position, known as the principal traditional leader. This opposition came from National House, Eastern Cape, Mpompo, Mpumalanga, and the Northwest. The argument is that in the majority of communities, the position never existed in terms of custom and customary law. Therefore, if the government continues with this recognition or recognition of this position, it then opens itself to accusations that it is now following the footsteps of its predecessors, that is colonial and apartheid governments, which were notorious for creating positions that were never there before. Point number two, page four, 2.2. From KwaZulu Natal, there is support for this fourth category of traditional leadership. This is the principal traditional leadership. And we are saying KwaZulu Natal supports the position because it exists in the form of the traditional prime minister. And then from the Free State, point number two, that is 2.3, there is now, on the other hand, a support for the creation of the fourth level of transcendent leadership position, known as the principal transcendent leadership, or principal transcendent leader, with an amendment here now, delinking it from the position of where there is a king or a queenship. And the argument, therefore, is that the custom and customary law of the Basotho developed over the years resulted in the creation of leadership position between the senior traditional leader and the king, Lesotho. And due to the fact that the Free State Basotho do not have a recognized king in South Africa, a consideration should be given to the creation of this position based on the already existing Lesotho model or arrangement. Our response back to page 3, the government's response or departmental response, is this, that number 1, this is on page 3, column 4, page 3, that the current paramount chiefs and the paramountcies will continue to exist as kings or queens, at kingships and queenships, until the current incumbent pass on or pass away or vacate their positions. Whereafter, their successors will automatically be recognized as principal traditional leaders. And the kingship, queenship will be deemed to be principal traditional leadership communities. I must hasten to you, Chairperson, to say that this refers to those six paramount chiefs who did not make it in terms of their legitimacy as kings or queens. Number two, we are proposing that the Principal Traditional Leadership Council will be established for these entities based on the same principles applicable to the queenship, and traditional council. So this principal traditional leader will have the same council as the case as it will be applicable to the kingship, queenship, traditional council. Point number three, Honorable Chairperson, we are saying where in a province, in terms of custom and customary law, if there's a province where it applies, in terms of that province custom and customary law, a principal traditional leader and a principal traditional leadership committee exists, provincial legislation must provide for the recognition by the premier, in this instance, of the principal traditional leader and for the establishment of a principal traditional leadership community and council. And we conclude by saying that the details regarding the transition from king or queen to principal traditional leader, and from kingship, queenship to a principal traditional leader, leadership community, must be provided for in the provincial legislation. On page 4, the last part. So all these queries from President Natal, the state, then are responded to through that input that I've just read. Coming now to the Kingship Queenship Council, the input from the National House of Traditional Leadership said that membership of the Kingship or Queenship Council should exclude politicians. And we are saying, indeed, The proposed amendment does just that. Clause 5, Section 3A, 14 of the Act, specifically provides that a member of the municipal council, provincial legislature, and parliament may not be appointed as a member of kingship or queenship council. And so the amendment there is not required. Point 4, page 5, transitional arrangements on paramountcies. From the Free State, there was the view that the continued existence of paramountcies, which is subject to the lifespan of a current incumbent, is problematic. The question that was posed was what would happen to the institution as well as to successor when the current incumbent dies, as is currently provided for in the amendment. And we are seeing our response. We refer people to the amendment we've made on page 3 now. That this falls away, this concern falls away if one takes into consideration the proposal that we have submitted on page 3. Point number 5, the appointment of commissioners. From the National House, view that public should be permitted to make nominations in respect of prospective members of the commission. They must participate in the shortlisting of the candidates and presumably should also be part of the interviewing process. And we are saying, and the column number 3 says, currently the bill provides for 5 national commissioners to be appointed by the minister after having consulted with the National House of Transitional Leaders. Provision is also made for the establishment of provincial committees, which will consist of as many members as the premier may determine. And we go on to say the appointment of the provincial committees is the responsibility of the premier after consultation with the minister. The appointment of commissioners and committees by the president is not supported because it will result in a cumbersome process due to the fact that there can be as many as 8 provincial committees as the provinces, for instance. Then our response, Honorable Chairperson, on column 4, page 5, is this, that due to the fact that the duties of the commission as well as the committees, provincial committees, of a highly specialized nature, and that the appointment of commissioners and committee members, that is, provincial committee members, is done by 2 different functionaries, that is, the minister as well as the premier. The involvement of the public in the appointment process of commissioners is not supported. Secondly, the involvement of public in the whole appointment process, that is, beginning with submission of names, shortlisting, interviewing, the whole works, will result in a cumbersome and expensive process which will not necessarily contribute to the expertise required for membership. It must be remembered, Honorable Chairperson, members of the Select Committee, that time is of the essence here, as was stated clearly by our minister as well as our deputy minister. And so we don't have the luxury of time to, with respect, have all these people being involved in the process from the very go right up to the end, much as we'd like this to happen. Page number 6. We are saying then that perhaps consideration can be, however, be given to amend the bill as it is now to include a provision which sets out qualifications and experience required for appointment to the commission and to the provincial committees. These requirements, for instance, could make mention of the fact that would need a person who's qualified in anthropology, in history, law, etc. And besides, one can add that within the provincial committees that are being envisaged, Premier, whoever is responsible, will also have genealogists, that is experts, people who are experts in genealogy, ethnologists, who could be appointed to enrich the process. On page 6, Honorable Chairperson, the Honorable Member of the Select Committee, I now deal with the National House of Traditional Leaders Bill. I start off with point number 1, which is the title of the secretary. An input largely coming from Mpumalanga Province, Mpumalanga House of Traditional Leaders, was that the title of the secretary should be amended to be that of Chief Executive Officer, because in this way it was a bit confusing. And our response is that the argument to move away from the term secretary to Chief Executive Officer is not convincing as to necessitate a change. We go on to give examples that Parliament, provincial legislatures, and COP have secretaries. And this is accepted. And these are equivalents of National House as a structure. And so we feel then that it should stay as it is, the amendment, there should be no amendment to the bill. Secondly, point number 2, full-time membership of the National House of Traditional Leaders. The input from the Eastern Cape and Mpumalanga stated that all members should be made full-time. And we are saying clause 4 of the bill provides that the president may designate certain members to be full-time. And we're saying perhaps a consideration could be given to amend that particular clause to make it clear that the president may designate certain, or if he so wishes, all members of the National House of Traditional Leaders to be full-time. Point number 3, representation in the National House of Traditional Leaders. From the Eastern Cape came the input that the provincial representation in the National House should be restricted to 3 members. Should not be restricted to 3 members per province, but should be based on proportional representation linked to the number of communities in the province. The bigger the province, so should be the number of representatives. And we are saying the matter was raised during the consultation process on the bill last year, and has always been rejected by the majority of provinces, including National House of Tanzania. And so we feel then that the bill, no amendment to the bill should be effected. Point number 4, the election of the chairperson and the deputy chairperson of the National House of Traditional Leaders. Again, from the Eastern Cape House of Traditional Leaders, it was proposed that the electoral college, in which all provincial houses are represented, should elect the chairperson and deputy chairperson of the National House of Traditional Leaders. The only qualification being that as chairperson and deputy chairperson, that person should be a recognized traditional leader. Column number 3 says, it is an established principle that equivalent institutions to the National House of Traditional Leaders elect a chairperson and deputy chairperson from amongst the members of that institution, and by members of that institution, from amongst the members, by the members of that institution. This proposal from Eastern Cape could result in a traditional leader who is not a member of any house being elected chairperson or deputy chairperson. It may also result in an increase in the number of members of the house Western Cape result in representation of the province being increased. So the proposal is not supported. Point number five, the dissolution of the House. 5.1. Clause 221B of the bill, which provides for the dissolution of the National House of Transcendence, is supported by two-thirds of the mass, should be deleted. So they say. The argument being that it may cause instability to the National House of Transcendence. And this came from the National House itself, and from the Commission, as well as the 50 States. House of Transitional Leaders. The response is the National House of Transitional Leaders is a statutory body and not a customary institution. And so it must follow democratic principles, especially those of the same rank and principle. And we are saying it's common practice provide for the dissolution of similar institutions should the majority of members support such a proposal. And so the amendment to the bill stands. No amendment to the bill is proposed. Lastly, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable members of the committee, Emma Kosi, meeting with the President, 6.1. It was proposed that the bill should be amended to provide for the engagements with the President at the request of the National House of Transcendence. This input came from the National House itself. And the response from the Department says, Clause 8, subclause 1B, provides that the President or a person designated by him or her must address the annual opening of the National House, thus affording this engagement between the National House and or members of the National House and the President. And we are saying other engagements may be arranged with the President without these being provided for in the legislation. So as it is, nothing precludes the House, National House of Transcendence, from interacting with the President. So no amendment to the bill is envisaged or is supported. And those comments and inputs and responses, Chairperson, I reach finality and say thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for that response that is sometimes and precise. Allow the members to order. Let me run the meeting. This is a sensitive meeting. I will call for hands when the time comes. I was saying thank you very much for your concise and for being precise. This is the process issue. According to the program, you would know that the very same issue will have to be canvassed in various provinces. However, I'm going to allow for comment. We are not going to negotiate anything, but I need comment that will be recorded so that they are part of assisting the process. And in those comments or clarities, the department would respond to those and we close. That is how I'm going to run this dignified meeting. And as you comment, please favor us and say, I am Honorable so-and-so, or it goes to so-and-so from such and such institution, so that we assist the recording. If ever there will be a commission of inquiry later on, we must be able to be fair to that engagement. Now is the time for engagement. What sense? The advisor, legal advisor, raise your hands. Yes. Chair of Eastern Cape. Yeah, in that order.
Chair. Thank you. You said, yeah, my name is Wadi Watson once again. I'm permanent delegate from the province of Mpumalanga. You said that we will not engage in trying to change things, merely seek clarity and so on. But let me say I wish to make firstly a comment, and then I also have a request and a concern. The comment is that, you know, we sat through this very lengthy meeting with the National House of Traditional Leaders and all the Nkosi and Morenas and whatever who came from the different provinces to favor us with their presence, to submit their proposals. And yet, in a sweeping moment of less than an hour, we wipe it all off the table as a result of submissions from the department, from officials. You know, if you look at one of these points, 2.1 for instance, proposal by the National House of Traditional Leaders, the Eastern Cape, Limpopo, and Mpumalanga, and Northwest. If this was a bill debated in the House, it would have been carried by five provinces. And then we still have the National House of Traditional Leaders, and yet it's wiped off the table. So I want to raise that comment that I think it concerns me a little bit. No, it concerns me tremendously. Another concern, Chair, is that we did not listen to enough explanations. In a number of places, the gentleman from the department, Mr. Wellington, I think his name is, he said that this is in column 1, this is in column 2, this is in column 3, but then expanded in his own words, information which would have been very, very valuable to us. There's a number of ones. For instance, 1.3, he said the current commission is not disestablished. It's just revamped or something like that. It would have been nice if that was in print. In 1.1 under the National House of Traditional Leaders on page 6, the request to change secretary to chief executive officer. He says the argument is not convincing to necessitate the change. Now, this is the document that we take back to our provinces. But he carries on to say in other institutions like Parliament, of course, Parliament has two houses. There's not a Parliament in the NCOP, but he says Parliament, legislatures, and NCOP all have secretaries and not the CEOs. So that is the established way of dealing with places like that. But again, if that had been in writing, I happen to agree with that argument. But if it had been in writing in more detail, it would have made our lives easier in going back and trying after such a short action on these bills to go and tell our provincial legislatures or their portfolio committees what it is that we are bringing to them for public hearings. So I have a third point, and that is a request that when we go out on Thursday and Friday to our provinces to go and brief our provinces on this legislation. I see a host of officials from the department sitting here today. Maybe they could give us each an official to accompany us to our provincial portfolio committees on Thursday or Friday to assist with the difficult questions I'm sure will be forthcoming. I'm very lucky I have the chairperson of our portfolio committee here today listening to what I'm listening to, and I apologize for not greeting him when I came in. I didn't see him, but I'm lucky that he's here, but not all the provinces have that advantage. So I think it would be, we've done it before, it's not a new request, it's been done in committees to ask the department to accompany the delegates to their briefings so that we can get some input and answers from them. That, in a nutshell, Chairperson, is my concerns and my request.
Thank you very much. I think I would agree with you that the department must comprehensively
put all things in writing so that we have a dignified document that assists delegates in various provinces. As it is now, it's too telegraphic and it might not assist. And I think the question of getting departmental people is taken. It must be like that. To assist various delegates that go there, that it must be done. Let me talk as a parliament, it must be done. And let me go to the next speaker I put in.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to punctuate on what the professor said in his response. Just a concern that was raised by the Eastern Cape during the last meeting. Eastern Cape and I think it was also Mpumalanga raised a concern with regard to the funding, the no implications to finance as it is in the bill. I just want to clarify that by saying when it is mentioned that there are no financial implications, it doesn't mean that there is no money that is that can cater for what the bill is said to do. What it means is that with the funds that are available within the department, the bill can be implemented. So that's what I just want to clarify. Whenever you see that it says no implications with regard to finance, it doesn't mean that. It simply means that the funds available, there are no funds that are going to be requested from Parliament to be appropriated to in order to implement the bill. That's what it says. Thank you.
For that clarity, speaker number three.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I assume my name is Machadi Ramopedi. I'm the Chairperson of Free State House of Traditional Leaders. I assume that in the document by the department, the suggestions are referring to amendments to the current bill. And if that assumption is correct, I wholly support the views of the department in this regard, and that the bill should be amended as suggested in their document, and more especially the question of principal traditional leadership, which was our concern, and the suggestion adequately accommodates our concern. Thank you.
Thank you,
Honorable Chair. I'm Inkosi Mahlangu from Chairperson of Mpumalanga Provincial House of Traditional Leaders. I just want to touch on 1.3. I think it would be a correction, but also a comment on the correction. I think we said the decision has to be reviewed, but not necessarily by the commission. So we said the decisions of the previous commission has to be reviewed. I think one bases that on the fact that the new structure of the commission is being proposed because of the faults that were seen in the previous commission. So we are saying all the mistakes that were there in the previous commission should be taken as is and be implemented, whilst we all know that there is a problem. And I want to say this to people that are in this house, that this the decision that was taken by the commission, if implemented in other areas, there's going to be serious instability in those areas. So for the sake of making sure that places do not burn, that's why we're saying that they should be reviewed, because I know for a fact that Mpumalanga is going to create serious problems And we've been, as regional leaders, we've been doing our best to make sure that the province does not burn. But if it is implemented, I think we're going to see serious problems. So that's why we're proposing that the decision has to be reviewed. And I think even the president has said it many times that, you know, those decisions have to be re-looked at. So it was based on that.
Thank you very much. But I want to just appeal that all the views that you are putting as a recommendation, as support, whatever, to this bill should be to quell any fire anywhere in the country. That should be our mood in order to serve the people. Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Public Representatives of various categories, as well as the staff complement. I am Prince Benz Namashe, the Deputy Chair of the Eastern Cape House of Traditional Leaders. I will attempt to act or comment within the parameters as set out by the Honorable Chair. I will start off with the first legislation, which is the Traditional Leadership and Governance Framework Bill. on the very first issues that were raised by the presenter, Professor Sobahle. Chair, on issues that relate to the decisions taken by the commission, probably we need to check whether the department has gone an extra effort to make further investigations in terms of constitutional validity. We have said, Chair, traditional leadership is a Schedule 4 competency function in terms of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa. And therefore, if any attempt is made by the department to actually test the validity of that against those fundamental provisions of the commission, to what extent has the approach and conduct of the commission been compliant to that fundamental principle? It's not a question of looking as to whether this is legal or illegal. We are talking about the Constitution. And we do not believe that the department has done what it ought to have done on this issue. It does not seem to hold an opinion, probably from a constitutional expert, to say, indeed, this has been tested. And if Parliament is persuaded to pass this bill as is, it will not cause embarrassment to this noble institution.
I would really be interested to find out the extent to which some kind of investigation has been conducted to that regard. Secondly, Chair, on the issue that relates to Section 20 of the Principal Act, saying that we have a configuration of departmental functions in the new administration, to what extent have we reviewed Section 20 so that it is equally in line with what is obtaining, so that if there may be any other functions that may have been omitted, then this would present an opportunity for such to be considered. I don't seem to get a view that talks to that important issue. It's important, Chair, because it seeks to make sure that the founding principles upon which our Constitution has been based, particularly Principle 13 and Principle 17 of the Constitutional Principles. Now, to simply not make any reference to such important issues, I do not think that justice has been done. It is quite strange, Chair, probably to notice that the financial implications have not been referred to, or there's nothing that talks to that. Again, sir, I wish to re-emphasize this point. Traditional leadership is a concurrent competence. You can't have a national legislation that poses obligations to other spheres of government, and that imposition does not make clear provisions in terms of enabling resources. That is why, in most of, for instance, provinces, you have local houses that do not function. You have traditional councils that do not function, precisely because this department has led a process where a legislation has been passed without any financial implications. Now, what they would do when questioned about this, I would be interested, Chair, to even know what is it that is in their strategic plan. As a department that has traditional leadership as part of its institutional arrangement, I would be interested to know how much has been budgeted for this function. So I take a very strong exception, Chair, that the department would come to this noble house and be so bold enough to say, indeed, there can be or there are no financial implications. I find it to be very strange. On the legislation that talks to the National House of Traditional Leaders, once again, Chair, I also note inconsistencies. A glaring one, When it comes to the appointment of secretaries or how they are designated, institutions like Parliament and NCOP are used to benchmark to say, you've got the Secretary of Parliament, you've got the Secretary of the NCOP on one hand. On the other hand, when we know exactly that the number of seats in Parliament are proportionately accorded to different parties in relation to the number of votes obtained by those parties. Equally, in the NCOP, you find a similar arrangement. Now, an arrangement that talks to the fundamentals of our democratic dispensation, this department continues to undermine that important democratic principle. We would still be interested to know why would the department be so adamant to feel that the proportional representation is not a fair representation in a democratic dispensation. And if this has been rejected indeed, to what extent have communities been consulted on the issue? Remember, traditional leadership is not just an institution of individual incumbents. This is an institution of traditional communities. It's a people's institution. You can't base your view, inference, or whatever, judgment, on the individual views of the affected people. The communities would be interested to know those who are supposed to be served by these traditional leaders, how do they feel about this? Have their views been canvassed? And, Chair, the last point. We are still not convinced, Chair, that there is no need for an electoral college. Chair, there has to be a nomination process. What is required here is for a leadership that must be legitimate, a leadership that must be able to execute its function, well respected and accepted in every corner of the Republic. You cannot subject thousands of traditional leaders merely on the decision to be made by a group of 18 people and say they must decide for the thousands of traditional leaders in the Republic. But you can't. So I still believe, Chair, that there is merit in these issues, except in circumstances, probably, where our own fundamental founding principles of this constitutional democracy are being undermined and or ambushed. Then I would rest my case. Similarly, even Clause 21 of the National House of Traditional Leaders Act that talks to the dissolution, you have to have a recourse. Those people have been democratically elected and or nominated to those positions. If a need arises that that structure be dissolved, then that structure must be dissolved and a democratic process must be created for that. We can't say they are there, and they must be there for 5 years
without any recourse to those who are supposed to be serviced by those institutions. Remember, those are members who are from provinces. And if their provinces give them such mandates which will lead to the dissolution of that house, then they have to do that because it's a democratic process and it's a democratic right of those provinces. So I still believe that this argument does not hold water. It's an ambush to our fragile democracy with which we still want to make sure that
honorable chair, there will still be a lot of time in the provinces to take it. I thought we'd comment and note so that we go forward because some people are going to the aeroplane.
No, Chair, just one issue. I wanted to touch on the issue around unfunded mandates, you know, implications around for the financial implications, because I think we are in a way as members being misled somehow, you know. The proper way is for the department to indicate as to, you know, what are implications for local government structures, for provincial structures, and also in terms of page 6, the consideration you're putting there that the president may designate a certain number. At present, we know there are 2. Né? But if he increases that number, there are financial implications there. You know? Now, if he appoints all, there are financial implications. Now, we're not sure as to, you know, for national, you know, you might be able to deal with it. But worry is with the lower structures, you know, at lower level, because premiers might not have that money. Mayors might not have that money. You know, just explain to us, because, you know, national department, particularly this department, have been in many ways, you know, driving through unfunded mandates to lower structures. If they can't function, those structures are blamed and the department is running away. And we need to be clear as far as that process is concerned, because you are misleading us now.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name again, Inkosi Mpiyezi Ntombi Mzimela, the Deputy Chairperson of KwaZulu-Natal House of Traditional Leaders and a member of the National House of Traditional Leaders. Much that I wanted to say, especially on the issue of on the principle of uniformity, has been covered, but I just want to say for the purposes of record that we were the first province to send our submissions to this department, but I don't see much of what was captured in that submission. There's only one issue on the principal traditional leadership. For instance, on the issue of representation in the National House, it is on record that KwaZulu-Natal and the Eastern Cape were also supporting the idea of a proportional representation in the National House. So now it should be recorded as such. Number 2, Chairperson. The National House is a representative body constituted by the provincial houses. I do not remember, or I don't know what happened here. When the National House sits and makes its inputs on the document, which are not based on the provincial inputs, I'll always have a problem with that. Because now it is as if the National House is just coming from nowhere, whereas it is coming from the provinces. So how do we address those differences? So I would not have a situation where the National House would just say unanimously they agreed on this. If I could make a classical example, on the issue of the Kingship and Queenship Council, they say membership of the kingship or queenship council should exclude politicians. Mina as Inkosi coming from KwaZulu-Natal, representing KwaZulu-Natal in the National House, this cannot come from me, and this did not come from me. And I wonder, Chairperson, because now in the same clause of the amendment, they are saying even traditional leaders or amakosi who are elected or appointed in a full-time position in any house of traditional leaders, does that mean that if I become a full-time chairperson of the provincial house or a deputy chairperson, does that mean that I'm now a politician? On the issue of uniformity, chairperson, Prince Bans Ngamashe has quite correctly explained extensively and tried to define for this house the institution of traditional leadership, especially on the issue of uniformity. So now the national legislation cannot dictate to us that we should all be uniformed. What I know is that in only exceptional limited cases listed in Section 146 of the Constitution, which are special situations in which national uniformity is necessary. Because in respect of traditional leadership, there has never been national uniformity, and there is no need to possibly create uniformity. So this amendment bill should have followed that the regulation of traditional leadership should have been left to the provinces so that we address these diversities, the differences that exist in the provinces. So my final submission, Chairperson, is that because we know that traditional leadership is a sui generis institution in that it is not and ought not to become part of the government of the country. It is an institution which stems out of traditional communities as a specific model of societal organization. And in that respect, it is, and it ought to be regarded much more as an organ of civil society than an organ of state. Therefore, when providing about traditional leadership, legislation must recognize to our institution a certain degree of autonomy, which means that wherever possible and appropriate, it must allow matters to be regulated by ourselves rather than dictating to us, because if you look at the responses by the department, in nature they are just casting on stone. The impression that is created here, it is as if further input or argument will not be entertained. The department is saying this. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'm Kosta Zimhlab from Eastern Cape, but I'm representing the National House of Traditional Leaders. Chairperson, as amakhosi, we are known to be doing something haphazardly, but now we are trying to do everything correctly. For instance, we would like to legalize the way we would like to meet with the president. But now the department is not agreeing on that. It's just saying that no, there's no need for the amendment. But we are trying to do things correctly. And I hope the department is supposed to be assisting us as the House of Traditional Leaders, as Traditional Leaders, because we are coming from the same roof. But now it seems as if one is opposing each other, not assisting each other. Under financial implications, Chairperson and honorable members, I would like to inform you that we have struggled to implement Act 41 of 2003 because of financial implications, and the department was saying no, they have got money for that, but we are still struggling now. The province are struggling to pay for the local houses, but the department will be saying there are no financial implications. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. I also want to put my provincial perspective on record with regard to representation. Mr. Chairperson, you agree with me that, I'm Khosi Makgeru, the chairperson of Limpopo House, that representation in the National House or in any other house for that matter will always remain a very emotional issue. And that's where we have to attend to this issue with cool heads. We in Limpopo hold a different view. We're not entirely against proportional representation, but we say the ground should be wet. And specifics be given out. In this case, we're saying, let's say, my neighbor Mpumalanga has 25 traditional leaders, and we've got 5 or 10. That does not translate in Mpumalanga having a larger community. Or Limpopo with 10 being a lesser community. But most importantly, although South Africa is regarded as one, we still have different communities with different cultural practices and languages. My province, like my neighbor, Mpumalanga, is home to a multiplicity of cultures and languages. We cannot look into the issue of representation only in terms of having 100 traditional leaders, which may not translate into a bigger community. Cultural and linguistic communities have to be taken into account. And we in Limpopo, like our neighbors, we believe we've got a case to present. And if proportional representation has to be effective or has to be considered, these attributes cannot be relegated to the background. Otherwise, we would be creating something that will ultimately backfire in our face. Thank you.
I just want to check with the department. My name is Edwin Chani. I'm the member of this committee. In areas where you say consideration can, however, be given, is that your counter-proposal or you're just leaving it to the proposer? If they want to pursue their argument, you can accommodate them in that particular fashion. Two, on the issue of the proposal, that the whole thing of the National House of Traditional Leaders having an opportunity to meet and interact with the president, apart from him just appearing and addressing them, and in most instances, leaving after address, because my understanding is that the request seeks to suggest that instead of, because if the president only comes and address, in most instances we'll see, even if it's not the president, whoever is delegated, just come and address and go. There's no interaction. And all what is being requested is that we require a situation where we'll have a definite platform to engage with the president of the country on issues that affect us. But the department seems to be just dismissing that on the basis that no, you can still do it even now. But surely that is being raised because of the experiences. It was not like there are no certain experiences. I'm just saying, if you could share with us real reasons why it cannot, as opposed to what is captured here. And lastly, the issue relating to you can go to number 7, I'll come back.
Thank you, Chair. Mine is just on the same questions that I just want the department to give us clarity, really. When I've looked through this document, I've seen a suggestion that the department said no amendment to the bill, no amendment to the bill, no amendment to the bill. And then I see the department has just put these things in, and we know that these things were public hearings, it's got financial implications. So the department must give us, at least tell us, where is the money, do they have the money, how much will it cost, and all that. And then there's something else, Chair. I've asked last time the question, it's a concern. I would love to see this traditional bills and read them, and I'm going to read it tonight. It's a concern for Africa, sir. It's a traditional community in South Africa. And whenever I read this thing, I never see something about the Khoisan and the Griqua people as if they are not traditional communities. And the department come here and say there's no amendments to the bill and all that thing. And one of the National House of Traditional Leaders said, the National House of Traditional Leaders cannot function without the provinces. It's the same as the government. There's been an election, the government is the national government, there's the NCOP, there are the provincial government, there are the local government. So it's impossible that we can have a situation where the department come and subscribe to us what we must do. If you read this document properly, the department is telling us what we must do, as if the department are the elected people. The department are not the elected people. The department are the officials. They are there to do what the elected people tell them to do. And we must get this thing right. Unless we get this thing right, we will always have this thing blown up in our face, fighting with one another, whereas we can just sit around the table and negotiate. We used to negotiate on issues. We did not learn to negotiate in 1993 and 1992. We negotiated even before apartheid. So all I'm asking the department is to look into this document and listen to the suggestions which the provinces has made. But my plea is again, I've spoken to the Northern Cape last week when we had the provincial week concerning the Khoisan and the Griqua people. There is no such thing that other communities are more traditional than the others. There is no such thing. We are traditional communities. We come from traditional backgrounds. So we've got traditional leaders. Whether they are chiefs or captains, whether they are kings or queens, we are traditional communities in South Africa. And we would need to rectify that thing. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. The process is on. Submissions are made rationally, emotionally, and otherwise. All what they seek to do is to strengthen the peace. I'm going to allow the department to come with the remark, and there we carry all what is said in our heads. We're going to read, we go to province. The moment that will be deciding moment is when we consolidate and move towards conclusion. I think that is where there will be deadlocks, one deadlock breaking mechanism, and all sorts of things. Now let us not arrest the process by this. The department. Just remind, be calm, courteous, no. Don't get taken up. It's your work. Just be calm.
Chairperson, thank you.
Thank you.
We, from the department, I think, we appreciate all the comments made by both honorable members and traditional leaders present here today. But Chairperson, maybe to start with, obviously we'll not be able to answer all the questions now and today. As you indicated that we'll have to give more submissions or response at a later stage, we'll do that. But then, Chair, the intention of this document was to respond, not to tell Parliament what to do or the committee what to do. That was the intention. So if it is read as if we are giving a direction to members, it is not the intention. Our intention was to respond to questions raised and to give suggestions as to how do we understand the response to be. That is how we have viewed this. Chairperson, maybe just to go through one or two questions that one can attempt to answer. Not that the answers might be 100% correct. But then on the issue of the president, unfortunately...
What, sir? You're making noise. Listen, you are taking attention to your fight.
Thank you, Chair. On the issue of the with the president, I think on that one, the department is saying, yes, it is provided for in the bill that the president may address the National House, may open the House, and it has been a culture that the president opens the House and come avail himself for a debate with the House. It has been the culture for some few years. But then we're saying for other engagements, we don't think that there is a need to pin down the president on legislation that you have to meet with the House. Otherwise, you will then have to specify as to how many times must you meet with the House, when, and so. So we're saying other engagements outside the official opening of the House and the debate on the speech of the president when he was opening the House, such engagements can surely be made through an appointment with the president. That's the only thing that we're saying and understanding to be the normal arrangement in terms of trying to meet a political office bearer like the president and any other minister. That is what we're saying, but not that cannot be changed, Chairperson. It's just our understanding when we're looking at that. Chairperson, on there are quite a number of things. Just that you know, when you are writing, you sometimes. Yeah, on the issue of GRIQUAS and COISA and Chairperson, I think we've indicated on a number of occasions that the current amendments that we're busy with do not include the Khoisan community. And we've indicated that as department, we are engaging with the National Khoisan Council on coming up with an amendment that will include the Khoisan communities. So we have said previously in this committee that somewhere next year, beginning of next year, we will bring about an amendment to the Framework Act that will include the Khoisan communities as traditional leaders. There is nobody who's disputing that Khoisan do not have traditional leaders. We acknowledge they have traditional leaders, and the Northern Cape Provincial House of Traditional Leaders at the moment has representatives of the Khoisan communities in that house. That is part of an acknowledgement that this community was for a long time not part of the mainstream of traditional leadership. And we said previously, and we're still saying even today, that we will be introducing an amendment to the Framework Act with regard to the Khoisan people. Remember, we had a policy on Khoisan people which was adopted by Cleveland, now of late. And therefore, the process of amending the Framework Act, which will be introduced next year, is going ahead to include the Khoisan community. Chairperson, I will not comment on the issue of proportional representation because there are different views on that one. There's a view that was raised by Prince Basnamashi, and there's a view that came from the Limpopo province, from Khoshimakheru. So there's a need to engage on these two views to say what is it that we really mean by proportional representation. Is it in terms of the number of communities that are there, or is it in terms of the number of traditional leaders that are there? There's a need to engage on that one further to say what proportional representation are we talking about as traditional leaders. Maybe there's a need through the National House that provincial houses, through their representatives of the National House, start to engage on the very same issue. Because I think Nkosi Mzimela indicated earlier on that the National House cannot come with a different position than the provincial houses. This is one of those items, I think, that the National House must start to engage upon as a house that represents all provinces to say what do we actually mean by this proportional representation, so that when we approach the committee or when we approach Parliament, we know exactly that what we are going to say to Parliament is what traditional leaders want and not what we think they want. I'm just trying to... on the dissolution of the House, I think Prince has answered that. We'll not go to it. I think he was in support of that as a democratic structure, that provision has to be made. So, Chairperson, it comes from a House, a provincial House. So, as a department, I think we said in our input that we think this should remain. Should there be such a need, a provision must be created to have such. Mm.
Chairperson, I will not go through all the... Chair, maybe for now I will stop and allow maybe my colleagues to add. Meanwhile, I'm still looking at other because there are quite a number of suggestions and questions, so that one could then tick and then come back to the floor again. But then as per your directive when you started, Chair, that we will have to take this thing, go and put them much more concise and then bring them to the committee and even to different provinces when delegates are going back to the province. That's exactly what we'll do as a department. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, sir. Just to round off, sir, again, echo the sentiments expressed by my colleague, Story. We appreciate the inputs as made by one, the honorable members of the board of the Select Committee, two, by also by members, honorable Amakosi, member of Trust Leadership. And we are going to do just that, as directed by them. For instance, the officials have always availed themselves to assist provincial members of parliament who need this assistance in terms of explaining the bills to their constituencies. We've already done that, for instance, with respect to the Eastern Cape, and we're going to do that on Friday with respect to KZN. And et cetera, as request is made. Yes, secondly, Professor Chief Kosi Mupeli, please state, this is true, we are referring to the amendment of the current bill. So what we are saying now is an amendment to the current bill. And so we are very pleased that you support the amendment. Your support is well placed because it refers to the amendment that we are coming up with to the current bill. Thirdly, through you, Chairperson, yes, the issue of uniformity is well known. The issue of diversity. Remember, the national legislation is there to give guidance with respect to the norms. And so, hence it's the Framework Act. Exactly opening a way for provincial specificity on those issues that the province wants to be divergent on. But not forgetting the issue as propounded by the government and by the ruling party. One must not be apologetic about that. That as much as possible, there has to be some uniformity with regard to the institution, how the institution is dealt with by government, not necessarily by this department, by government. So there is that fundamental question that as much as diversity obtains in the provinces, and the ruling party acknowledges this, but at the same time, would like to see equal treatment by government of the various provinces. Thirdly, through you, Chairperson, there was a question from my honorable member of the Select Committee as to whether these counter proposals, especially as stated on page 3, government's proposal, is a new proposal. Yes, but remember, it's a new proposal now with regard to the principal Tashan leader. What we are saying there on page 3 is a new proposal, amending, if as it were, what we have said previously in the amendment. Fourthly, and lastly, Chairperson, reiterate what has been said by my colleague here, Ms. Story, that we respect this House because we know our officials. And when we make proposals here, these proposals are also submitted to our political principles.
no official worth his salt would come here and being unelected would come and dictate to honorable members to what the official, doesn't matter whether he's a professor or a doctor. That does not obtain here. These views must be taken to upholder principles and tabled there, and we give an okay by upholder principles before coming here. And so even here, we know the importance of this institution, that is the final say, and so these views are coming here as proposals, purely acknowledging that the importance of this institution, the importance of this house, in terms of legislation as being the voice of people. So I want to reiterate that there can be no way that any officials can think that they can come and present their own views. Much as we are policymakers, we make these proposals, we submit them to our postal principals, and we also know that when we come here, they can be amended, and we have no vested interest. They must be amended as dictated to by the members of parliament, who are the ultimate arbiter in terms of this. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Can you just touch on the finances? Just a remark on the finances before we close. I'm not going to allow other hand. I'm apologizing for that. We didn't have the time to engage when I was in the process. That's a remark on finances. Because it comes, it's like a mosquito in my ear. Coming time to time.
I thought on the issue of finances there was already a remark that was made earlier on that as we did not provide for any financial implication in the business, that with the current budget that we have in the chief directory, we will be able to go through and implement the bill. But then emanating from the current discussion here, that the members of this committee and all attending this meeting would want to know precisely how much do we have that is in store for this bill at this point in time. We cannot at the moment produce figures, Chairperson, how much do we have now. But we can forward those figures once we reach our offices. But then, Chairperson, from our understanding is that as we proceed with this bill, the actual implementation of this bill will not be that much expensive. But then, Chair, if you would allow us to submit to you at a later stage the actual figures, Chairperson, and the implication that it has on the provincial budgets and everything, because the question was actually going even beyond province to local. That is what we'll then have to give a comprehensive figure that will inform what implication does these two bills have if to local, provincial, and at national level.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I wanted you to express a view on that because I heard what the data law advisor said, but we wanted it from you as the one that carried the message on behalf of executive authority. You have to say something. If it binds you, we know that we'll take it from you, not from the state legal advisor, you know? That's how I wanted it. But I said I'm not going to allow, because we're still going to provinces, not only resolve the issue now. And then I think the issue that has been raised, take us forward in terms of processing the bills, and we would engage. Honorable, please bear with me. Anyone who has got urgent issues, please pack it for hearing next week. And then we'll engage there. And you see, I'm tempted, and not even tempted, I'm deciding as a chair to adjourn you and arrive alive.
Just
announcement. Members of the committee, there is an announcement for transport. Now, from members of the select committee.
That is the serious allegation.
Thank you.
you now.
Sir, honorable, I'm told Papa is arrived, or is it Finger Papa or something, I don't know, it's coming, just be patient.